Welcome to our chit chat.
Welcome to the
honey,
chat.
Honey, we need to chit chat, you might say.
We do. We need another chit chat.
We need another chit chat and we need a muffin.
Yep.
But in a good way.
Mm.
Well, here we are again. Blair said he didn't want awkward starts, and
this is the thing is, like, I like to have an idea of what we're going to do, but you love the just go into it, and then I get in my head, and I'm like, I don't know what to say right now. So I didn't say anything right now.
Well, here we are. Well, diving right in, I guess, we are going to be doing something I have seen a trend going around on social media that I thought was really interesting, and I presented it to Blair as an option for a topic for a chit chat the other day. So it's going to be a bit of an interesting one, a bit different to our normal style. I say normal, but we've done three, but you know, a bit different to the normal routine, but something that I think could be helpful. So with a little bit of background, there is a trend going around at the moment, which you may have seen. It's mostly on TikTok, a little bit on Instagram, where people are saying, you know, social media is a place for a highlight reel. It's a place where you present the best of you, but there are also things that are real going on behind the scenes. And so some people will share a couple things, a list of things that are very real and authentic and raw for them that are things that they're wrestling with personally. And some of them you might be like, oh, that's maybe an overshare, but I think there's a real beauty in it because for one thing, it's very right that social media is a highlight reel and you do show the best of you. You don't tend to show the nitty gritty side of things. I think some people are pretty good at that, being a little bit more authentic. And especially these days, it's become more of a thing that you see on socials, people being less polished and more real. But I think even when you think you're seeing the real, you still don't see like the behind the scenes. You still don't see the things that would just, even subconsciously, you would just filter out for that person and be like, oh, why do I wrestle with this? And it just seems like these people have it all together. And that's kind of the aim of this trend, in my opinion. And so I thought it'd be cool for us to do this because we're in a podcast that's talking about authenticity and communication. We're doing this together. And it'd be easy, I guess, to kind of present ourselves as if we've got things together and things are smooth and easy all the time and that we enjoy doing things together all the time, which we do enjoy it for the most part. But there's just because we like doing fun things and we like putting this podcast together and we like communicating and workshopping things doesn't mean that life is all daisies and rainbows and everything that comes with that. So I thought it would be cool to present some of the more authentic things that we are wrestling with.
Yeah, and I am not on TikTok, and so Amy showed me this episode today. You showed me a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be taking the lead because it's for me to get my head right into it. I put some notes down for myself in my trusty little handbook here. Mm-hmm. The big part for us, and this is why I thought it could be cool, is because we are very aware that we do not want to be coming across like we do have all the answers. We do have it perfect. We've got it made. This is a growth podcast. And so, yeah, I think it's a good challenge for us to be. We want to be transparent here. And so we're going to be sharing. The challenge is to not overshare. Like, we still want some privacy in our lives.
Yeah.
But we want to be transparent. And you started telling me some stuff that you were going to talk about. And then we decided not to do that because I was like, I actually didn't know that to that depth anyway. And so I'm like, oh, that would be cool. I really want to have this conversation on the podcast because I want it to be in the moment
for us as well.
Exactly right. So we can chat about those things at the same time. And I want to encourage you guys at home, this could be a cool thing that you do with your partner as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, because it's just that deeper understanding of maybe insecurities that we have or things that we're, you know, things that are going on in our lives we haven't clearly communicated to our partner. So it could be a fun little exercise for you guys to do at home as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get into it. Let's chat. Let's chitty chat. Hey guys, we just want to pause for a second here just to ask you guys for a huge favor. Can you please like, share, subscribe this episode? That goes a huge way in supporting us, helping us reach more people and to build this awesome community of people to be continually growing in our relationships with our spouses, with our partners, and with you guys as well. So thank you very much.
I might be really corny. I might be. I'm going to leave this up to you.
You will be. I will be. In a loving way.
I'm going to leave it up to Amy that edits, not Amy that's doing the actual episode. I may even put some music behind, which is really dramatic. Love this. But part of the trend is there's a song, which is, you know, the classic for TikTok. There's a song that most people use with it. And as lame and corny as it might seem, there is something emotional about it. So potentially... this might have.
Is this by the dude from Stranger Things?
No, it's a different song. Yeah, right, yeah. Cool. Potentially, this might have a soundtrack, or it won't, and you will never hear this comment. So, you'll never know, or you will.
I can do it.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, so diving right in. So I'm going to do two, then Blair will do two,
then we'll go backwards and forth, one on one.
Sounds good. So the first one is the one that Blair was referring to before that I started to tell him before we were recording, and that is that. Something about me that I'm a little bit, I don't want to say ashamed of because I feel things about that word, but a little bit aware of maybe is that I bite my nails and I have done my whole life. And there's definitely been times where I've been able to break the habit and that's been great. Like, and sometimes I've broken it for like almost like a year kind of thing, but it always just sneaks back in. Definitely think it's an anxious response to things, plus just habit, which is classic. But I bite my nails and it means that I'm super aware of how my hands look and I don't like showing my hands on things. So like even if I'm recording something for social media, like I'll re-record it sometimes, not always, if I feel like self-conscious about my hands.
That's great. All right. So that's good that you shared that. And that's like, for me, straight off the bat, I'm like, I actually had no idea that you were self-conscious about that. Like I knew you bit your nails, like I do too. But I didn't realize that was a thing that you... would avoid showing. So it blew my mind a little bit there and was like, oh, actually, this is actually a really good conversation, more than just a trend, because I didn't know that. Like for me, straight off the bat, I'm like, I have not even noticed your fingernails. Like I genuinely have not noticed anything about it. So that's where I think it was a shock to me, because you shared with me like, all right, you know, you avoid certain videos or putting your hands in certain things. I'm like, wow, that just is mind-blowing, because I have... Even looking at them now, I'm looking at them now. I don't seriously notice anything. Like it's very bizarre.
Yeah, how funny.
But it's funny how certain things trigger us.
Yeah. It's funny because like I'll go through stages where, like I said, I'll stop the habit. And often that will start by me going and getting my nails done, because that's like, it's hard. You can't bite your nails when they're done. And
you can't. Well,
it's harder to, okay. I should say. You can. I've done it. But so I'll get like the hard shellacker or SNS or whatever it's called, so that it's difficult. Classic. But when I go, the ladies sometimes are so judgmental, or I perceive it to be so judgmental. And so it's like that sort of thing.
How?
Too. Oh, they'll just be like, because you have to get tips. And so there's just this whole attitude, it's hard to kind of explain, about how difficult it is to add the tips to nails because they're too short.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a fine thing. It's not really, it doesn't take that much space, but it's just things like that. I'm just like, I always am embarrassed the first time, because once I've had them done, then they grow out a bit.
Everyone's embarrassed the first time, babe. It's fine.
And the other thing that's a lot more serious on this is our daughter has started biting her nails, and it's making me really aware of me doing it.
Mm.
And actually, there's a few things that now she, like the other day, I was just pulling my eyelashes. Like it just had something on my eyelashes. It wasn't because I was pulling them. And she's like, what are you doing? And she was like, you're pulling your eyelashes out. And she just noticed me doing this tiny little thing. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so like we've had conversations specifically about nails, because I'll see her biting her nails and she'll be like, you bite your nails. And she picks at the skin on her fingers, which I...
Oh, it makes you cringe.
I sometimes do that too, but that's not my main thing, but it's all kind of part of it. And so I've been like, you shouldn't do that. Like you've got such beautiful nails. And I really want for her to not have to start this habit. So I'm trying to think about how to do that, but then I'm also super aware of the fact that if she sees me doing it all the time, how is she going to stop?
I feel like it's going to be an easy one though. Like if we get it, like talk to her about this age, if you bite your nails, you can't get your nails done.
True. She is very motivated by those things.
And she'll just stop. Maybe. And she'll be like, you'll see this. She won't, like, her nails will be super long. Mm. She'll be like, I'm getting my nails done.
Yeah. Maybe we should just do that. Mm. So, yeah, that's my nail biting one.
Nice.
Just to start us off on a semi, not too heavy, but serious one. Mm. They're all serious, to be honest.
Well, I'm just going
to
jump in straight away. I know you said two, but I've also got a nail biting. I was going to say fetish. I meant habit.
Oh. That's why we're together. Yeah.
That's why I love your fingers. But no, so it's not, habit. It's not. So I bite, you know this obviously, I bite my nails, but I use my nails as toothpicks because it's just on easy. Hand, right, literally on hand, toothpicks.
Yeah. I know, so are you self-conscious of this?
No, I don't care at all.
It's just a real thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Is this the point of it?
Well, it's just like, more real, maybe not. If you're not self-conscious about it, that's a great thing. Don't be, I don't want to make you have a complex about it.
No,
so
the reel that you showed me, people will did being weird real. Things. Being real, like just not being like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I pick my teeth with my bit off fingernails.
He does, and I actually think you didn't tell me this. I think one time I saw you doing it, and I was like, "Did you just clean your teeth with your nail?" And then you're like, yeah, I did.
And?
And now, I don't want to throw you
the fetish is gone.
The fetish is gone. So we're kind of buddies for totally different reasons.
Yeah.
I never have enough nail to clean my teeth.
I'm always surprised that I've always got enough nail.
You always have nail. Yeah, but that's the thing is, it's not a habit of biting nails.
It's a habit of cleaning my teeth.
It's a habit of cleaning your teeth. Please keep listening to us. Okay. So the next one for me is our house is, I'm going to say 80% of the time, a mess. I feel like it might even be more than that.
I would say less. I feel like, because I have the same issue. Mm-hmm. We do, our house is messy a lot. I feel we've been doing really well.
We go through seasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Where we're
and that's
really
why I
good.
Wouldn't say 80%. You know what I mean? Because and our bad seasons are bad seasons, but they're seasons. And that's something that I knew you were going to bring this one up because you talk about it a lot in a good way. Mm. And we can always get better. And I want to get better and something that we're working on, but I'm not actually that worried. Like I walked out there before, the dishes aren't done. Mm. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, but the kitchen is in a good state right now.
Yeah, I know. But that's my point is that we're in a season where the kitchen is in a good state.
Yeah.
And so, like I'm saying, is like I don't think we're 80%. Mm. But I know what you're saying is because you're out there the most, and it's not just a mess of like dishes and stuff. You've got all the kids' stuff around as well because you're with the kids most of the time during the week. And so you're taking on Bonnie, our dog. You're taking on her things, plus our kids' things, plus Patty with his mess. The good thing about having a dog, it cleans up your baby's food. It's great. So that's why we're actually like 50% now because Bonnie cleans up half the
honestly,
mess.
Honestly, the floor is actually way clean. Not just because of that, but also because if we leave anything on the floor, she'll eat it.
Well, so the other thing too is since we've had Bonnie is she leaves fur through the carpet. Ooh. So I'm vacuuming so much more because there's fur everywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hear what you're saying and I agree with you, but I tend to give us more slack.
Yeah.
But I'll go through seasons too, especially if we go away, we come back. I'm like, I'm so sick of this mess.
I think my point to that I wrote down was our house is often a mess and I'm deeply saddened by that. It makes me very sad that our house is, what makes me sad is not that the house is messy. What makes me sad is what I perceive to be my inability. And I say we are like, even on what we do in the house, Blair's very, very like hands-on in terms of keeping the house clean. But I know from myself personally, my inability to get on top of systems. I'll get into this headspace where I'm like, I'll get rid of everything. And then I'll like actually try to get rid of everything and I don't really achieve much. And so that is what makes me really sad. And also it just makes me feel gross. Like most of the time I don't even notice it because I'm living it. And then every now and then I'll just like go to the bathroom or something and I'll just be like, oh my gosh.
Oh, our bathroom is a mess. Yeah, it's disgusting.
And I'll just see, or like I'll see even like dust on the skirting boards or something and stuff you don't even see until you look. And then I'm sure that we're not alone in this, but it just makes me think like, not only can we not do the basic things like stay on top of laundry, dishes, that kind of thing, but also like then we've got like, I just noticed the other day because we had guests over, smudges on our walls at the kids' height, and once I started wiping them, I could see them all.
Yeah,
and I was like,
so
oh
many.
My gosh! Before that, I would have been like, the house is so clean because I just didn't look. So like it just times like that when I'm like, I feel like we're drowning in this stuff. And if it was just you and me, I think it'd be one thing. I think what makes me sad is that this is what the kids are marinating in. Like, not that sounds gross, but like this is what they're taking in about life. And also on the flip side of that, I wouldn't want them thinking life has to be spotless, because it's not going to be. And I would way prefer to be a flexible, much more gracious family in terms of that. But I just wish there was a little bit more routine around it.
And again, like, I don't want to come across of like, no, I'm all positive. Like, I go through moments where I'm just so sick of the mess. And the biggest thing is the kids' stuff. They've just got so much stuff and I wanted to throw it all out. But I think another area when I'm in a good headspace is I try and give ourselves a break of like, man, we had like 5 hours sleep last night. You know, like, you know, with Patty, you know, he just was up. We're tired. We're in that young kid stage. And I think when I'm in a good headspace, I can give us that grace, I guess, and be like, I'm stuffed. I want to relax. I'm tired. I've had a big day of work. You've had a big day with the kids. Kids are finally down. I want to chill out.
That's one thing is, like, I want to be able to spend time with my kids. I don't want to be so stuck on cleaning that I can't. But also, I think that's one of the reasons why these trends are interesting, because people, I've gone to friends' houses when they're like, oh, sorry about the mess. And then I come into the house and it's
very clean.
Very clean. And I do that when people come over, I'm like, oh, sorry about the mess, but we've cleaned for the whole morning. And so then it's just reinforcing this thing of not only are we ashamed of the mess, we're also pretending that this is the level of mess, but the reality is it's much more. And then I've been to friends' houses that I've walked in and it actually is a mess. And I love that so much. When I've had those experiences, it's been extremely freeing. Extremely freeing. And I'll come, like, I'll be like, I actually don't care if they come to my house. But then the people that I've gone to the houses of and they've been like, sorry about the mess, or it's spotless, they're people that if they were to drop in or something like that, I would be mortified.
Yeah. I think that's a big reason I don't like hosting.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
All right, my turn.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So, again, again, not really understanding the trend, I just put some stuff down. Something that I was going to share is, again, like, I really struggle with patience. And another thing that you know, because it's something that we're really trying to work on.
So
it's really strange. It's not just patience, like, I want stuff now. That's more impulse, I guess. But I do have impulse issues sometimes as well. I really struggle with patience with the kids. And I'm like, you know, I have this expectation that I make complete sense or something, you know what I mean, to the kids. Like, so when they don't understand me or they don't move at a pace that I want them to move or they don't do, you know, like, it's when you say it out loud and when you're working on it, you feel very silly. But this is just genuine, like, this is just genuinely a struggle that I have and something that, again, we're really, really trying to work on. And also, and in that is I get overwhelmed very easily. We're not sure, but, like, looking at, I guess, what is it? It wasn't a guide. It was like an ADHD
quiz or something.
List. Like, you know, I possibly do have that. And so I really struggle when there's a lot of things going on. I get overstimulated. Like, so if all the kids are crying at the same time, or if they're all talking to me at the same time, or like constantly, I get really overwhelmed and I find it very hard to regulate my emotions and my thoughts and my. And to process my responses. So that's something that's quite real and quite a big struggle of mine and something that we've been working on, you know. And, so putting things in place to work through that has been really, really important and really, really helpful. But that's been a big one for me.
Yeah, it's a big one for me too. It's actually one of the things that I'd written down. Not patience so much, which it is, but overwhelm, like the overwhelm. I just get very quickly...
But again, like, I see you though, and I see you as so much more patient than me. Like, and I see you a lot more together in those situations than I am. And yeah, I think that's, I don't know. It's not to undermine your feeling.
Yeah, no.
But it's just like, I look at you, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't see you. Obviously, you're a parent. You have those, like, that's very, very normal. But I see you as a very patient, very together person.
That is so funny because I don't feel that way at all. But I think one thing that we've identified that's different between us in that way is that I tend to be someone who's trying to figure out what's going on for the person.
Yeah.
And we realized that your reaction is often like it's like a mismatched expectations yeah. of a situation. And so I think that's one thing is like we approach it very differently. And there's some stuff that you have worked on like, or that has been like a pattern since being like a child kind of thing that just if someone like doesn't seem to understand, like you said, what you've said or what your expectations are or reach the expectations.
Even our puppy, you know, taking her for a walk the other day, I'm getting super frustrated that she's not
sitting
and not, not pulling on the lead. And then you're like, she's a puppy. You're like, oh yeah, you know, obviously, but for some reason I have these expectations that what I want should be met. And, you know, it's, I don't think it's a selfish thing. I think it's just for some reason my head is
how your brain processes it.
It is. And it's the same issue. Like I had the exact same issue at work. So I manage some people and my team, I've got high expectations for them. Like, all right, guys, like I want this done. Why is this not done? And a big thing for me has been exactly. And this is what a big thing that you've been bringing into this situation is helping me to understand where they're coming from. And that's been great, like you, especially for my team. And this is what I've been helping my boss with as well when he's having the same issues is like, all right, cool. I know what my expectations are, but I've got to put myself in their position to help me understand is my expectation actually realistic?
Yeah.
Is it fair? If so, fine. But what do I need to do to help them in their situation, in their circumstance to move into expectation? And I think that's a big thing on the importance of communication and back to this podcast and relationships and all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah.
But I think another thing too is, and this is another transparent thing, is so we're actually going to a counseling retreat in July in New Zealand, which I'm really, really keen for. And these are a lot of the things that we're wanting to bring up in that space. Like, you know, so really hoping for, helping there. And again, we're being proactive with our struggles. We're not just, it is what it is. It's like, no, this is a struggle that I have. We're in a very healthy place. And I don't feel like I'm like the worst person in the world, but we identify that actually counseling is going to really help us here. So we're going to go to that retreat.
Yeah. Everyone brings patterns from their childhood into marriage or into relationship. And then also reactions to like, if you have trauma along the way, which most people do, at some stage, which we have, there's all these other things like, your reactions, your trauma responses, your capacity is different. Like, and that's kind of all fine because it makes sense, but not something that we're satisfied to just be like, it is what it is. And that's just what it's going to be now kind of thing. So we're excited to, we'll hopefully bring you guys along a little bit in that process.
And we could even do a mini episode over there.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Watch this space.
Yeah.
Cool.
Whose turn is it?
My turn, I think.
Whose turn?
So this one's a little bit of a weird one. And I have probably only this year really realized how much it impacts me. But I often have ideas that I want to do. So a lot of the time it's business related. And I get creative ideas or aspirations, whatever it is. And that's great. That's fine. But I get paralyzed by my mind. So I'll have these ideas and a lot of them, maybe like half of them are like, oh, that probably wouldn't work. And then half of them is like, that would work. And some of them would work now. Like it would be like, I could already do this. But there's something in my head. It's like perfectionism and anxiety and like a whole bunch of other things. Like what's it called? Imposter syndrome. That just, I'll be like super confident in this thing that I want to do. And then the making it happen, I just get paralyzed and I really struggle. And so that's whatever. But I've realized that when I'm stuck in that paralyzed state, or if I'm not doing, if I just don't have capacity to do the things that I want to do, like having kids, for example, we just had our last baby last year. So that was like, you know, the whole postnatal time and maternity leave and that kind of thing. I just really had to try, and I didn't do very good at this, but like try and chill out for a little bit. And when I'm in those stages, I actually get really distressed and I find myself constantly feeling behind or constantly feeling like if I don't get on it, I'm not going to like succeed. I'm not going to get like, and it's just like this constant battle in my head. And it's a massive comparison thing too, because especially because a lot of my ideas are based around things that have to do with social media. Again, why this trend is like appropriate for me. Like if I'm scrolling on social media and seeing other people doing stuff that I love or that I want to do or that's similar to what I want to do, I get really like just frustrated in my head. So it's been good to kind of identify that this year. But this is the first year that I've actually thought clearly, like, why do I feel this way? Oh, it's because of this. And putting things in place then to also help get myself unstuck when I am stuck in that place of not knowing how to take next steps. And Blair's really good at that. So that's what he does very well and very naturally. So when we work as a team, it works a lot better than...
Yeah, I think this podcast is just a perfect example. This is your idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's what I wanted to sort of bring up is, like, it's funny because you say about how you have all these ideas and you don't actually get stuff happening. And I'm here, I'm like, all right, I'm actually in my head, I'm writing up my resume, your resume. Of all the different things that you've done or researched. So I was having this thought, and I'm not going to get these numbers right, but I saw this thing on Instagram talking about Steph Curry, the basketball player, right? So he's the all-time, like, three-point shooter, and talking about how he shoots, like, say, around 500. I can't remember the numbers. It's quite large, though. He'll shoot, like, 500 shots. I think it's more than that though. Every practice match, right? Yeah. So he'll do that. So if that's 500 shots, 5 times a week, it's about 2,500 times 52 weeks in a year. It's around, I don't know, I'm going to butcher this. So, you know, hypothetically, I know I'm terrible, but hypothetically he's shooting, like, practicing with 20,000 shots a year, right? Mm-hmm. He's only made 3,000 shots for the year or something, you know what I mean? So he's actually doing so much more practice to the ratio of him actually getting him in.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I see with you too. You start so many things, you research so many things, and you've identified as well, you're a unicorn. You can do nearly anything, right? Because you've had a passion in that space, and then you've gone and researched that space, and you've tried to implement that space, and then you don't go that way. But I look at it as like, cool, what's the next thing you're going to learn though? Because it's like, again, you're doing your 20, I don't even want to read my numbers because I know they're going to be wrong, but hypothetically around, rounding up, rounding down, whatever, you've done your 20,000 practice shots and you're going to land 3,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's really where you come in. So,
yeah.
You know, not saying that this podcast is going to be the next big thing.
The Steph Curry of podcasts.
But I'm saying is that I really believe that you're going to achieve something great. Mm. I really do think that because of the amount of the work you do leading up to that thing, that's great.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I think that's what trips me up though, because I do, like, so there's things that I try and then I give up because I'm like, oh, I'm over that. Mm. And unfortunately, that happens a lot. Even when I just made the website for Honey, We Need a Chat. And Blair is asking to, like, edit it the other day. So he asked me for my login and I was like, oh yeah, it's Family Life Essentials. And he's like, where's that from? And I was like, remember I made that website last year? I was selling Amazon products. Didn't happen. Yeah. But I had a website.
Yeah.
That's great. It works for now. I've got it here. But so there's things that I try and I don't finish. A lot of things that I try and I don't finish. And I'm okay with that. There's also things that I try and I know I could do. And I know I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I just don't move forward.
Yeah.
And even the podcast, like, we absolutely would move forward. I don't know that I would have if you weren't kind of pushing me with it.
Mm.
And yeah, there's things like that, those are the things that freak me out because I'm like, what if that was one of my 3,000 shots that I get in kind of thing. And I'm just not even trying.
Yeah.
But I think as well, and believe as well, that the things that will happen, not to be airy fairy about it, but I don't think that, you know, I'll miss my shot and then I'm just going to be like stuck doing nothing for the rest of my life kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So I just kind of need to ease the anxiety of that. Cause once I ease that, then my brain actually works better. And that's when I can actually get stuff done, which is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. This one is a self-conscious of mine. What is it? Insecurity of mine. Yeah, cool. So I'm actually going to combine a few of these. So this is like, this is probably my insecurities. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think out if there's any more, probably like minor ones, but these are more the major ones. I'm 36 year old. I'm a 36 year old and I can't speak. I'm a 36 year old and I still get pimples. Mm. It drives me insane. Like, I'm on like skin cleaning products. I've got like the whole light thing, which when I use it, it works really well, but it's just that consistency of using it. But it's just like, I'm 36 and I still get pimples. I have a receding hairline. And I have half eyebrows. It frustrates me so much. And I've got one long one and I don't want to pull it out because I'm hoping that it will encourage the others to grow.
My dad used to say that about his hair on his forehead. It didn't encourage them to grow.
But it could. And
just get rid of it. But yeah.
But yeah, that's my insecurities. Yeah. It's just like, it's more frustrating about the pimples. I'm like, why am I still getting pimples? Mm. I'm sitting hairline. Look, it's just, it's so hard to do my hair. Like, I'm more confident with when I do my hair. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, I don't even know what to do with it. So I always wear a hat, except for today. And what was the other one?
My eyebrows.
Yeah. Actually, doesn't bother me that much.
I make jokes about it a lot, so I feel bad.
No, no, no. Actually, eyebrows probably, like, it doesn't bother me a lot. I just want to just bunch them all in there together.
Yeah. It's so funny to me, though, because all of those things, like, it's like I don't actually even see those things. Mm. Like, I know when you have a pimple, and it's normally actually when you point it out to me. Like, that'll be the thing, like, oh, I've got this massive pimple.
But it's funny. It's always when something happens, you know, it's always leading up to something. Yeah. So it's like if we've got a wedding or a party or something, it's like the time when you're going to be seeing
pimples,
the
like,
most.
I want to come.
Yeah.
So exactly. If someone has some dermatologist listening
millions
of listeners, please help.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so interesting when you hear someone lay out their insecurities, because a lot of the time you're like, oh, so not even on my radar.
Yeah.
And especially like the hair ones, like your receding hairline and your eyebrows.
Well, receding hairline, it's not like I'm self-conscious and I won't go out of the house. It's more frustrating and I'm not confident in the work that I've done to my hair. You know what I mean? Like, so when I put like wax in it and comb it and stuff like that, I'm just like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Makes it complicated to try and find a style that works.
Yeah, it does. And I'm just not confident in the work that I've done. It's not a confidence thing where I won't leave the house.
Yeah, absolutely. There's an ad going around at the moment, actually, where they talk about that. The person wouldn't leave the house.
Yeah, wouldn't leave the house.
I think it's so sad.
Yeah.
Who needs to reinforce that as an insecurity?
And I don't like that ad because it's kind of like making it that okay. Mm, anyway,
yeah.
But that's another tangent.
So my next one.
Yep.
I think I was a bystander to my life for the first 25 years of my life.
Wow.
I really feel like it wasn't till after we got married that I started to actually wake up. And I remember when I was in high school, this sounds super like, but when I was in high school, you know how you do like those, well, like would you rathers, for example, and they'd do like, would you rather be blind or deaf? And I was always like, I would rather be blind. Like I was like full on, I'd rather be blind, because every time I closed my eyes, I was like, I feel like I can experience life like real, like I can experience reality more when my eyes are closed. And when they're open, I feel a little bit fuzzy. And I used to always think about heaven as well and be like, the thing that stood out to me about heaven, I was like, when we're in heaven, everything will just be clear.
Hmm.
And we'll just be like, wow, this is clear. And I only realized after I started coming out of it that I feel like I was in a fog for so many years. And I don't know if this is universal for some people or if it's more abnormal. I think probably it was because I was, as a child and as a young adult, in a constant state of stress from family dynamics and stuff that was going on, and had a bit of a trauma response. And I still really wrestle with, like, I take on stress from people around me a lot. And
we've been talking about this recently.
And I still wrestle with that a bit, but it wasn't, I think, until I was like removed from, like, we were becoming our own family. We were removed, making our own kind of way. And I was also then like merging with you, and you, like, you have just such a different approach to it than I do. And so when we did come together as a family, you were helping me, like, sharpen me in that way. And that was definitely one of the issues, like one of the major things we worked through when we first got married, like those kind of tensions.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's, I think, why I started to like wake up. And I know that sounds so silly. So if I look at photos of myself in high school, a lot of the time I'm like, I just was like, I was so stuck in my insecurities. Like I was like stuck in my head all the time, feeling like everyone's staring at me thinking I'm fat, or everyone's staring at me thinking I'm whatever, or like, just like constantly aware of that. And then also constantly aware of like stress going on. So it was like, I couldn't actually see life. And so I get that way a little bit with the kids. Sometimes I'm like, I feel like I just can't see. It's like my reality is blurry.
Yeah. That's called lack of sleep. Yeah.
Exactly. but way less. So now, and actually the thing that's kind of the reason I put this down is when I started to wake up, I guess, I then started to like, there was things that before I would never speak up on. Like I was like, I'm not going to point this out, or I'm not going to like say what I want to eat for dinner. I'll be like, hey, whatever you want kind of thing. And then when I started to wake up, I feel like I went through a stage where I was like, no, I don't want that. And I started to get a little bit more intense with that. And then that was like, we talked through some stuff sometimes because I was like, yeah, I didn't want that. And I didn't know I didn't want that. And now I know I don't want that. Mm. So I'm just going to say, like, I got a little bit more. I think also having kids, you have less tolerance for just doing what other people want. Mm. You're like, I don't have the time.
Yeah.
So that probably all helped. But that was it was a weird transition to be like, oh, it's like I'm like learning, getting my big girl voice all of a sudden. Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing is, you know, again, it's not just that we're so different. Our family dynamics were so different. Like, I'm rural. You grew up overseas. You know, you're born in Melbourne, grew up overseas, but even your family back in Melbourne, still very different dynamics and everything. So, you know, I think that's the thing is when, you know, I really struggle when people, and I've said this before, but I really struggle with when people are saying we're just too different. Because again, like, I don't know, I think our difference is our strength.
Yeah.
You know, like, I really think it's probably one of our biggest strengths is our differences. And because we were so different was what led us to this whole pursuit of learning how do we communicate through these differences. And it's been our biggest strength, you know, because again, like, your perspective, every time I grow, I really believe this, every time that I grow as a dad, as a husband, as a man, is because you've inputted into that. Because, you know, I'll catch up with mates that are very similar to me and they'll be understanding, but they won't help me see outside of myself. And it's so important to do that, you know. And I think, you know, I actually didn't know that, you know, as well, what you just shared about, you know, you felt like you were fuzzy for so long. And I wonder if, you know, the big shift was when we got married, it forced you out of yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
And made you think of someone else. And yeah, so I wonder if that was a big thing there. Yeah,
I think so. And I think the differences that you encounter, which everyone will encounter, some will encounter a lot more, like we are pretty opposite in a lot of things. So I think we had quite a few. Some will encounter less, but everyone will encounter differences because you've grown up differently. Yeah. Even if you grew up in the same suburb, went to the same school, you will still have grown up differently. Even if you were siblings, which you shouldn't be getting married.
Don't do it.
But even
don't
if you
marry
were,
your sister.
You still would have a different, you'd still be bringing differences. And so when you have differences, it feels like tension and it is tension and it can cause issues. But when you come together as a partnership, you can use those. It'd be really easy to fall into a pattern of being like, these differences are too much and be like, there's something wrong. And it feels wrong, but it's not wrong. It's just normal. And so when you can learn to explore, I was thinking literally this phrase last night, I don't know why, but I was just like, you have to have an attitude of curiosity. Mm. You have to be curious about the other person and why they do that or why they think that or why they're reacting that way, because they're not just choosing to do that. 99% of the time, I think people don't just choose to be the way that they are.
Mm.
They are the way they are because of so many reasons. And if you have an attitude of curiosity, it's going to help bridge those gaps, basically.
Mm. Yep, absolutely. All right, so one more each?
Yep.
Okay, so I write this one down. Maybe I might finish on this one. You do one more, then I'll finish on mine.
Okay. So I'm finding myself, this is a bit of a weird one, I'm finding myself really overwhelmed at the moment by the sheer like range of opinions in the world.
Oh yeah.
I'm finding it extremely hard, especially because I am someone who wants to investigate things and find a good answer. I'm finding it really, really overwhelming. And I know basically you can search anything and find any answer you want, right? Like if you search however you word it, you can find the answer that backs you up, basically. And I knew that, but I just feel like recently there have been such intense, and again, probably social media, because it's not just a matter of like backed research that's on the internet and we've got access to now. Things like TikTok, I was just showing Blair this tonight, has become a search engine.
Yeah.
But it's not even a search engine based on actual things.
Facts.
It's just literally become a search engine that it looks like it's reinforcing messages that aren't even true. Like I saw one that was like, Kate Middleton found dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's obviously become a search because of all this stupid stuff going on, like people, conspiracy theories and that kind of thing. But it's become a search on TikTok.
Mm.
So that if you are like probably, I don't know, a huge percentage of the young consumers, you would be taking in this information like, I think Kate Middleton's dead. You'd easily find she's not. But then it's like sat in your head. And so I just am getting extremely overwhelmed. And I know it sounds kind of like funny, but when it comes to health, because I'm kind of balancing a few health things, That's a really like touchy topic, and it is, I'll just be like, yeah, I'm like super influenced and like convinced by this one thing, and then someone else will say something, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I have no idea. So I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I don't even want to look into it.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't want to be ignorant, but I'm getting to the point where I can't even comprehend looking into it anymore.
Yeah. I am not on social media anywhere near as much as you, and I don't have that overwhelmness. Like it's saying that I pretty much work on social media. Like I do a lot of things on social media, but it's very specific. I'm going on there for a specific thing.
Yeah.
I might scroll on Reels or something, but it's down to my algorithm and it's mostly funny stuff. But yeah, outside of that, like I'm not on social media much anyway. So I don't have those things, but I do know, like, you know, the little bits of news that we read and everything. I think the thing that I, not overwhelmed with, but just like, oh man, I cannot be bothered, is that you can't wrestle with an unpopular position. You know, there's no position for you to actually wrestle with something. Like I want to have a healthy conversation about something. Like I remember, I'm not gonna bring it up because I don't want this to take over what the point of the story is, but I was wrestling with this this view, and it wasn't a popular view. And I reached out to a mate of mine that I knew had an opposite view. And I knew that he was a safe person that I could go to, that I could be like, all right, man, this is in my head. I know it's not popular. I don't want to have a decision just off popularity, but I want to have that space to really wrestle through what's in my mind with someone that's different, you know? So we had this really good chat, and it was a little bit backwards and forth. It was full respects. It was a little bit of debate, but I think that's part of the wrestle is debating. Exactly. We debate over stuff too. And it's just like, it's trying to get really down to the nitty gritty of stuff. But I feel like if I didn't have this mate over this specific topic, I would really, really struggle. And I'm not just going to agree because that's what everyone's telling me I should agree with. It's like, exactly. I want to know, I actually want to wrestle with this, and I want to come to that decision. I did come to that decision in the end. I actually did. And, I was confident in going with that decision based off the conversation that I had with my mate. Really was able to wrestle with that, and then I felt so much more peace about it. But I can't do that for a lot of topics, you know, and that's really frustrating. It's just like, yes, this is what you think. If you don't, you're a douchebag.
And especially for young people, because how are they meant to develop that? Like we are a little bit older and we've had time a little bit more to have those conversations. But some people have grown right into this, and it's just this, it's intense.
Yeah,
it's intense,
absolutely.
And it genuinely stresses me out.
All right, my last one, I think this is probably one of the most important things that I'm sort of wrestling through now, is I used to, when we first met, I used to iron my underwear. I don't anymore, and I miss it.
I thought you were going to be a serious one.
This is a serious. I miss ironed underwear. It is a nice feeling. I don't do it.
I have a really easy solution to this, babe. The iron is next to your bed right now.
Literally,
the iron is on your bedside table.
Yeah. Well, I ironed my shirt the other day. Yes. It's a start. But I miss the snugness.
I could not believe the snugness.
Of the warmth of it. The whole thing.
Maybe we need to get a smaller size of undies. I could not believe when we got together that you ironed your undies. I seriously thought it was a joke. It wasn't a joke. And I have never offered to do that. And will never offer to do that.
You don't iron my clothes anyway.
I don't. The only clothes I iron is because my kids are now in a school with uniforms and I'm scared of getting told off. That's genuinely what it is.
Yeah. All right. Now, can I have the iPad?
Yeah.
We're going to do a thing. So we had our outro, and it was really hard because it was like, you know, we want an outro, we want a catchy outro, and we came up with, and that's that on Honey, We Need to Chat, right? That's it. But then we always felt cheesy by saying it. So like, all right, well, this is what we're going to do. This is something new we're going to do. So what we're going to do is actually we're going to take that phrase, each chit chat or every episode, not sure yet. We're going to take that phrase, take that outro, and that's that on Honey, We Need to Chat, and we're going to put it into ChatGPT, and it's going to rewrite it every time, and that's going to be our outro from now on, all right?
Every time it will be different.
Every time will be different. Yeah. It's not going to be the same one. We're going to change it every single time. So, all right, instead of And that's that, honey, we need to chat. It came up with,
and just like that, we've buzzed through another convo on Honey, We Need to Chat. Bees in the hive, remember to keep making that sweet, sweet honey of communication. Until next time. I love that so much.
Until next time.
Sweet, sweet honey.